Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into your 16 questions, 16 answers, 16, I guess, progress reports for the AFC. We did the NFC. I released that yesterday. The AFC releasing it today. And this is fun. I went back and I looked at these and just tried to get kind of an idea of where we were, kind of where we're at with our with the progress on some of these and some of the big questions that we had. So we'll just do a rundown of them and see what we have here going into the second half of the season and where we kind of find ourselves. So we'll start first in the AFC. We'll start in the AFC East. That is with Buffalo. What is the offensive weaponry outside of Stephon Diggs? I wrote in, I think it was July, without Cole Beasley, there's a hole in Buffalo's offensive pecking order. The Bills are promoting Gabe Davis to the wide receiver 2 role. They also have Dawson Knox, James Cooks, Khalil Shakir. I didn't even mention Devin Singletary, which is kind of funny, considering now that he's their third guy in the wide receiver, or the third guy in receiving so far in the season. I think there's still questions, right? Davis is actually leading the team in routes. He's got 451 yards, 4 touchdowns, on 18 catches, 37 yards, right? I think if you doubled that up, and you're like, hey, if he finished with 900 yards, 8 touchdowns, something like 40 to 50 catches, something like that, and 80 targets, kind of how would you feel? I don't think it's a massive miss. It's probably not a massive success, right? It's kind of what we maybe thought. You know what I mean? It's you kind of put him in your lineup in that wide receiver 3 role. He's going to have some good games. He's going to have some duds. That's kind of where he's at. You know, so far in the season, he's wide receiver 36. And frankly, that's right in line with where he's been. That's kind of right in line with what his cost was in the offseason. It was higher in redraft and higher in underdog and best ball than it was in dynasty. But honestly, it might not necessarily uptick you a ton in dynasty, but it's not really a loss from what his dynasty cost was, right? He outproduced his dynasty cost. And honestly, it's high variance, that's for sure. He's been banged up a bit too, but I think he has ceiling beyond what he's produced so far. Again, it's only 7 games, so even when you look, it's actually a little bit better. For example, he's averaged more points per game than DJ Moore has, right? He's averaged more points per game than Devontae Smith has. He's averaged more points than Jerry Jeudy has. So, when you start looking, he's averaged more points than Cortland Sutton has, right? So when you start looking at it, you're like, wow, okay. You know, he isn't this elite player probably, but he's right in that wide receiver 3 role, which is kind of where he was projected coming in, right? So is he a massive success? No, but I think he's a success from where he was drafted. Again, it's high variance, right? You're going to get a week where he goes, where he goes deep and scores a touchdown, and then you're going to get a couple of weeks where you're not. But that's kind of the life you live in this range of the position. I think Dawson Knox has been a disappointment. I think James Cook hasn't really gotten a ton of work, and that probably has to do with the fact that Devin Singletary has actually stepped forward. So when I was actually reviewing this, I felt a little bit worse about it then now that I'm sort of talking myself through it aloud. I think the big shoe that could potentially drop is Odell Beckham Jr. is out there and available, and I would be sort of I'd be sort of interested to see if they go that route. Next up, Miami with Tua. Is he the answer at quarterback? I think certainly so far the answer is yes. A top PFF grade, a really good offense. They could score a lot of points, put up 100 yards. Tyreek Hill's on pace for a potential 2,000-yard season. Right? That's in his range of outcomes. Is Tua this big sort of – is he the Josh Allen level of the position where he's going to basically where he's going to kind of toe an offense? I'm not sure he's that, but I think when things are really good, which they are right now, he can, play point guard, right? Almost already at a career high of touchdowns with 15. He's only got 3 interceptions. He's still same big time throws as Turner worthy plays, right? His ADOT's actually up to 9.7, almost 2 full yards ahead of where he was last year. So good performance here so far in the season. Again, I think when you look at him, right, what do we think? I think he's the type of guy that I'm interested in sort of pivoting up from. That would sort of be, that's kind of always the play at quarterback in sort of this range for him. So I'd be interested in sort of doing that if it's possible. I'm not necessarily sure, you know, how much of a jump you can make, but can you get up to that Herbert, Mahomes, Allen type of tier at the position? Right, Herbert has slipped off to actually be down to quarterback 5 at keep trade cut. Can you sort of make that pivot? Because I'm interested in doing that if the cost isn't too much. You know, if it's something less than a first, I think that's absolutely something that you do. But right now, Tua is up to quarterback 8 at keep trade cut, and frankly, I'm fading that at the present time. So I just don't. You know, we look for multiple hits, right? We're kind of looking for multiple years of progress, and he's basically halfway through 1 year, right? So generally, I fade that before it gets there. So, so that really my thought there. All right, next up, we have the, what's the post Josh McDaniels offense look like in New England? Well, Jacoby Myers is leading the team in routes and receiving. He is at basically 50 targets, 40 receptions, 457 yards, 3 touchdowns. Devontae Parker experiments really failing. He's got 320 yards on 27 targets. Stevenson's been really good. Damien Harris has been hurt. They're 21st in passing success rate, 25th in passing EPA per dropback, 21st in rushing success rate. They rush it actually a little bit more frequently compared to expectation than they did last year. Last year, they were 5% under expectation in terms of their pass rate. This year, it's 3%. So there's some little stuff here and there, like around kind of the periphery of their play calling and stuff that's different. But that said, like overall, it's pretty similar. So that would be the big thing that I would say, like with them. It's a pretty similar run pass split, you know, in terms of the offense. I do think Mac Jones has taken a clear step back. That would be maybe the biggest takeaway. Is that the fault of this offensive system? I'm not necessarily sure. Right? There's probably a lot of blame to be had. But you look at him, 49.4 PFF grade, more big time, more turnover-worthy plays than big time throws. Which was not the case last year. His turnover-worthy play rate's almost doubled from last year, up from 2.5 up to 4.8. So again, that's a big increase, while his big-time throws are actually decreasing. So, and his ADOT has stayed the same. So it hasn't really changed in a dramatic way, other than I think Mac Jones is performing worse this year than he was last year. He's actually scrambled a bit more, a little bit more time to throw. He's taking more sacks. So really everything is kind of down. In terms of, like, when you look at it, the run-pass split's relatively the same. The ADOT, exactly the same. It hasn't super changed in terms of the actual structure of it. He's just performing worse. And with 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, right, very negative split there. So I'll be interested to see what this offense looks like. Do they go back to Zappe and the like? I think Mac Jones deserves more opportunity, but there's nothing to say that they're wedded to him long term. All right, the Jets. How does Zach Wilson progress? Right, they have, and we talked about this a lot, a redundancy across the board in terms of skill position players. Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Tyler Conklin, C.J. Uzomah were added. They brought in Jeremy Rucker. Right, that goes with Elijah Moore and Corey Davis and Michael Carter. Right, they just kept adding and adding and adding, which is really good. You're going to call him really skeptical at this point. I think his best play of his career is a slant on third down that didn't score a touchdown. Right, that's, to me, is a little bit, we'll have a little bit of skepticism. His PFF grade is actually down from last year. The yards per attempt is up from 6.1 to 7.2. The ADOT's up a little bit. Adjusted completion percentage up slightly. He's turning the ball over more frequently and has less big-time throws than he did last year. And again, his PFF grade's down. So the one thing he's not doing as much is taking sacks on pressures, which that could be a sign of development. Color me skeptical on him taking a big step forward. Maybe this past game against the Bills is sort of a step in the right direction, but I am cautious in my optimism. I wouldn't consider me optimistic. I am, we'll say, cautiously pessimistic on his development thus far. All right, next up is Pittsburgh. What is the quarterback battle look like? Now, after Roethlisberger retired, they addressed the position multiple ways, bringing in Trubisky, bringing in Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's won, Right? They've actually moved on from Chase Claypool from that time. Right? We thought they had a really good offensive skill set of weapons. Najee Harris is disappointed. Deontay Johnson still ranks in like the top 10 of targets in the NFL, but I think is underperformed. Pickett's like a top 15 quarterback asset that seems rich to me, especially him going ahead of guys like Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford, for example. So I'm cautiously optimistic on him, right? I think with his pedigree, though, there's nothing to say that they can't go back and readjust the position, whether that's another quarterback in the draft, someone in free agency, or the like. I think that those are options for this team. So I would be careful about being super aggressive in Pickett. I think he's got off to an okay start, but any sort of trending bad, right? If he's not good down the stretch, they could have a top five pick and readjust the position. So I'd be cautious about that if I was investing in Pickett. I have him in a couple spots, and I'm going to try and make some pivots from him to some better quarterbacks, some more proven quarterbacks than him that are maybe depressed assets, like guys like Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford. How does Deshaun Watson return? Still awaiting that. So don't know that yet for Cleveland. Next up, we have does Joe Burrow regress? Right? Joe Burrow lived on good variance in 2021, led the league in passing touchdowns over 40 yards with 10, and he had zero of them in 2020. How does he sort of regress in volume? He's up in volume. He's actually still up in terms of expectation here. 3.1 points over expectation this year. He's quarterback 4 in terms of points per game on the season. That's really good. 4.1 points over expectation last year, and he was quarterback 8. So we see that way, way up. He's got 333 dropbacks so far halfway through the season. Last year, he had 520. So way up in terms of expectation. And some of the stuff has come back down. Too, right? Big time throw rate down. PFF grade down pretty significantly. Last year he was at 91.2. This year he's at 78.5. Touchdowns at 18, right? Still doing the stuff where he's actually leading the league with passing touchdowns over 40 yards again, and 50 yards again. So living good there. And that has been something that's he's been consistently able to do now through basically the last, I don't know, year and a half or so, we'll call it. So that's good stuff, right? That's good stuff. But I think the big story there, the volume coming way up, he's on pace for well over 600 attempts this year. And you would, after 520 last year, right? That was the big thing. Can he take this massive step forward? But he could potentially throw for 5,000 yards this year, right? So that would be a big increase. It's actually probably a decrease in play, but a massive increase in volume, which was something I wasn't sure we were going to see, but I'm happy to see it. How does the passing game evolve in Baltimore? Don't really have a great answer on that one yet. Bateman's a firm and complete. Duvernay has 31 targets in 9 games. Lamar Jackson's pretty much in line with what he did last year from an advanced metric perspective, slightly up in terms of PFF pass grade, but that would be like a median performance for his career. He's been right at his median, but well below his average. So there's that. 6.9 yards per attempt is actually his worst of his career. Again, I attribute some of that to the fact that he's throwing the ball to Devin Duvernay, right? That Deshaun Jackson is out there at this point in his career being one of his main receiving targets, right? This seems like an organizational failure. And I'm really surprised that it's happened because they're a smart franchise. Big time throw rate amongst the highest of his career, so that's good. Turnover-worthy play rate, it's down from last year, so that's good. ADOT, right at his career average, right? So there's I think a lot of this is him being held back. Has he been perfect? No. Is he being held back by a lack of supporting cast? I think so. I think that's a lot of it. So especially without Andrews, it's tough. Still really good from a fantasy perspective, but maybe we don't necessarily have the elite passing upside without some really difference-making players in this offense. Next up is Davis Mills the question, or is he the quarterback in Houston for the future, right? Is he the next guy? And it's funny because you compare him to some other guys, and you can look at the stats, for example. His turnover-worthy play rate has basically plummeted, right? That's really good. He hasn't been the cause of their problems. His big time throw rate has actually up over the past couple of weeks. It was really low to start the season. His A dot has come up a little bit as well, right? It was really low to start the season. Yards per attempt is down at 6.4, but you look, PFF really likes the performance. He's at 66.6 as a passing grade compared to 59 last year. Right, so I think a lot of that is limiting the turnover-worthy plays while trying to bounce back in terms of some of the big-time throws. The problem with this is his investment cost, right? This team is bad. This team is probably not going to pass up the opportunity to select a quarterback in the top five of this draft. That would sort of be my thought. Should you? Right, if Davis Mills was Kenny Pickett, for example, and drafted at 20 overall, I think you're probably like, all right, like we're, let's surround him with some weapons. We're feeling pretty good. We're not there with Mills, and I think a lot of that is because you just don't, right? You it's the draft pedigree substantially lower, and you don't have the supporting cast, right? So you have that combination of stuff. I think is really it really hurts Mills. Potential. And if they were good, if you go back and think of a situation like Dak Prescott, for example, the team was really good. And so he was really good as well. But if he didn't get both of those things to happen, like they were probably going to readjust the position, would have brought Romo back, whatever, right? There was a lot of different ways it could have gone. With Mills, like he's been okay. But I don't know if okay is good enough to fend off a top, five pick at quarterback, right? If I always use the thought process of if your quarterback two is available in the top 10 of the draft, like are you taking him or are you staying with Davis Mills? Like I think they're taking that quarterback. So that's sort of the thing there. And again, I don't think from a dynasty perspective, he gets very little love in terms of like respect. He's a quarterback 28. Mariota is below him. Garoppolo, Ritter is above him, right? Like that's blatant, frankly, that's blatant disrespect. Like the fact that Ritter's above Davis Mills right now is just blatant disrespect, considering what he's done. But like that's kind of where that's what happens when you don't have the pedigree, right? And you haven't really truly stood out. He's been good, but hasn't truly stood out. How is the quarterback situation solved in Indianapolis? Disastrously. They've benched Matt Ryan. They've gone from Jacoby Brissett to Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz. Now Matt Ryan, now Sam Ellinger. They fired their offensive coordinator. They fired their head coach. It's a disaster. Is Matt Ryan done? Probably closer to done than getting a full opportunity to start again. Right? Would it surprise anyone if he retired after this? It wouldn't surprise me. So I think this is a really crummy situation, and fortunately, there's not a ton of fantasy assets in this offense. You keep coming back, and one of the things I keep thinking about with this team is the lesson I learned from Indianapolis is you can be good, and you can keep drafting guys at non-premium positions, but that's ceiling capping, and it's not that resilient, right? So you're really good on the interior defensive line, or you're really good on the interior offensive line, or you've got you're really good in the middle of the field, right? In sort of the off the line of scrimmage in the middle of the field stuff, right? Your linebackers are really good. You've got a good safety. You got a good running back, right? You've got a guard, right? Like all of these things. And what you don't have is a good quarterback, good outside weapons, right? And that's really, I think, where offense is won. That's a lesson that we should learn from this. What's the future of the Tennessee offense, right? With A.J. Brown out, Ryan Tannehill is really without his key player. He's got 1 year left after this year, after 2022, with no guaranteed money. The team could move on from him and from Derrick Henry and save money, right? There was some signs of regression in both of those guys after last year, and I think they've both been fine. Like Tannehill's been probably overperformed what his situation is. Derrick Henry's bounced back. I don't think he's peak Derrick Henry anymore, but he's better than what he was last year. So we don't have Treylon Burks proof of concept yet. I think Robert Woods is closer to wash than anything. That's kind of where it is. And I think Tannehill can make some stuff happen in this offense without a true wide receiver one. Is that difference making for fantasy? I mean, he's a quarterback two in dynasty super flex type leagues. It's probably one you're trying to upgrade from, but is he one that you potentially see multiple years more of starts? I could definitely see that, especially when you start looking around and you start seeing, you know, is Brady gone? Is Matt Ryan done? Is, like, you start counting all of a sudden, like, Tannehill puts himself in a group of guys you actually feel confident in that's not that big. So is he a guy that's going to change your franchise? I don't think so, but is he someone that's going to get more starting opportunities? Like, I think a team like Washington or even a team like Atlanta might be pounding on the door for a guy like Ryan Tannehill if he were to become available. Can Trevor Lawrence progress? You know, I've kind of done this one a bit. He hasn't yet. You know, people wanted to put him top 10 of the league through 2 weeks. I was not there. You know, he was a first-round startup pick in Superflex drafts. I was not there. He has been basically about what he was last year, if not a little bit worse, through half the season. And when you look, the system is really good. He's a top five quarterback in terms of expected points and not performing like that. PFF grade right in line with what it was last year. Yards per attempt is up 6.8. Again, that's, I think, the system more than him doing anything. Big time throw rate down, turnover they play is still higher than his big time throw rate, even though it's slightly down from last year. PFF grade right in line with it. Right. He doesn't take sacks. Like, that's his big thing, right? At being an 8.1, 8.2, ADOT guy, right? That's right where he's at. So he had a good game this week. He had basically really good in weeks 2 and 3, and then has been some level of bad basically the other weeks. That's not what I want in a top 10 quarterback in Dynasty. So color me skeptical of where he's at so far. Again, he's basically halfway to the 50 start threshold. And he hasn't turned the corner yet to really, you know, make you think he's going to be a top 12 quarterback this year. Like, next year is going to be a super critical year for him, and one that I'm not super enthused about holding him going into that range. Who is Patrick Mahomes' wide receiver one? Tyreek Hill left, obviously. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the big money contract. Juju Smith-Schuster, the discount option. They drafted Sky Moore. I've actually brought in Kadarius Toney. It's Juju. I don't know if it's Juju long-term, but he's really been good for them, especially in the past, like, month or so. One of the things I was just thinking about this today as I was preparing for the show, you go back to Juju and you're like, all right, from basically the age of 17 at USC, he's kind of found a way to fit in and do what offenses have needed him to do. The idea that he would come into Kansas City and not be able to do that, I think, is, like, with Mahomes and a really good offense with a good coach who kind of can understand where to put guys and have them get successful. Right, Juju's exactly the type of guy. His historical arc would tell you is the guy that would fit in that, right? So I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling, like, we took shots in the 50s of the wide receiver position. That's been a failure. But Juju's really performed well. So I don't know if it's there or someplace else, but into the future, it's a really good opportunity for him kind of into his later 20s to be a difference-making wide receiver. I hope he stays in Kansas City. What's the next generation of the Chargers skill position players? And I thought about this one a lot. Right, and I kind of was like, I don't know if we're in a spot where we're going to, what sort of this offense transitions to. And I thought, like, with this offense, I didn't have a ton of questions. It was Herbert, Eckler, Allen, Williams. Like, that was kind of what it was. What's the next sort of step of that, right? How does this offense evolve? Well, Keenan Allen has been hurt. Mike Williams has been hurt. Austin Eckler's been really good. But you start looking at it, and now you're playing guys like Michael Bandy. You're playing guys like DeAndre Carter. You're playing guys like Joshua Palmer. You have a lot of questions and concerns there at the offensive skill position. This was a team that was interested in a wide receiver in the first round of the draft and didn't go there. It makes you wonder, like, if they had gone back, you know, would they have just taken someone sort of in that range? You know, I bet they probably regret that now. So we'll see how this sort of looks going forward. But I think Allen has certainly not helped his fantasy stock. He's not helped us, right? We are in on him. And hopefully he sort of gets right for down the stretch. You know, the week 12 return, I'm kind of fine with that. Like, get good, be ready for a couple of weeks of getting back into game shape and all that, and then help us out down the stretch. Like, that's really what we need for him and expect from him, and hope the same for Mike Williams. But I'm really interested in what this team does, whether it's in free agency, whether it's in the draft coming up, because I think this team could really be, you know, that's a good situation. There's already some talk of Sean Payton potentially being an option there if this coaching staff doesn't make it through, you know, into the offseason still in charge. All right. How does Russell Wilson influence the Denver offense? Well, it hasn't been good. And I think it hasn't been good. Like, we've talked about this one as well. It hasn't been good from the perspective of they've just underperformed. I think Russell Wilson's underperformed in touchdowns, like in the red zone. Some of that stuff is a little bit fluky. He's not been as good as he should have been. He's probably been better than the narrative has been about him. You know, so he's just taking shots everywhere, right? Cortland Sutton hasn't been the great fit that we had hoped for. Judy's been okay, right? We haven't really gotten what we had hoped out of Albert O, but Dulcich has been good. They've got some injuries at the running back position as well, with Javonte Williams out for the year. So it hasn't been what we thought this offense was going to be. Can they get it right? I think they can get it right. I think there's ways for them to fix this. There's ways for them to fix it coming off a bye and all that stuff, like some additional time to sort of figure out where the light switches are in this offense. I think it can help them going forward. Again, Russell Wilson's and I'm not knocking Russell Wilson when I say this, he's a little bit atypical in terms of how he plays the quarterback position. So you have to adjust for that as a new coaching staff. And they hadn't quite done that yet. And, you know, now we're sort of heading into the second half of the season where hopefully some of these things can get right. And then last but not least, you've got how do the pieces fit in Vegas? You know, change defined the offseason. They hired Josh McDaniels, traded for Davante Adams. They also signed Hunter Renfrow an extension. They were negotiating, at the time I wrote this, an extension with Darren Waller, and they've since paid him. Waller hasn't been playing. Renfrow's been hurt. They haven't gotten what they wanted out of Davante Adams yet. Carr's not been good, right? This Carr's basically on a one-year deal this year with the potential for it to be more. Don't necessarily love his trajectory in this offense, and could they potentially look to revisit the quarterback position this offseason? Wouldn't shock me. Can they still, you know, make a charge here down the stretch of the season? They could, but I think a lot of what they came into the season relying on hasn't been great. So a lot of skepticism and concern there for me going forward on this offense, but I'm optimistic that they can turn it around. They certainly have the talent to, but it hasn't been great yet. You know, we've liked what their best thing has been Josh Jacobs, right? Like, that's been pretty wild. Like, their best, I think that, you know, the best, Adams has been good, but really, like, the big thing for this offense has been Jacobs has been better than expected, and that's really the lone part of this offense that's outproduced expectations. All right, so that'll do it for this edition. The AFC version is a little bit shorter than the NFC version because I think we have more clear answers in the there's less stuff to talk about in the AFC than there is the NFC. So that'll do it for this edition. Again, I'll have running back roundup show for you as well coming out. It'll probably come out Wednesday morning, is sort of the thought there. I'm going to probably record it late Tuesday night. Schedule's been a little funky because of some personal stuff this week, but I'll have it out for you, and you know, we'll have Thursday trades and all that as well. So that'll do it here for this edition. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.